Good evening, ladies. Excuse me?
I just help myself. The work is okay.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I just rubbed the table.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. It's fun. You can totally do it. My daughter said, "Is it supposed to do that?" I'm like, "Yes, it does." All right, ladies, come grab a seat, settle in. I have a few announcements to make before we start in prayer. I wanted to give you an update. You know that all those donations that you brought in and then we bagged a few weeks ago. Well, this past weekend on Saturday, we had the opportunity of doing the community outreach down at Park Chapel. And we had a couple handfuls of ladies come to facilitate the event. And we had about four handfuls of people from the community that came and received. And it turned out to be such a sweet event. There was coffee and breakfast items. There was the hygiene packs that we put together. The Lord had there be a ton of bags of clothes that were sorted through and were given out. And then and it was like intimate enough to where we were able to sit down with them and have conversation. We had the Good Friday and the Easter flyers, and so we were able to personally invite them and talk to all of them, I think, individually, and invite them and just talk about their lives and our lives and just whatever the Lord led and put on our hearts. We were able to pray. And so anyway, I thought it was such an awesome success, and we couldn't have done it. This was our event, and you took part in it. And so I want to thank you. And even though you might not have been there, it was awesome, and the Lord was glorified. So thank you so much. And then also, we were able to leave all of the extras and stock the shelves at the food and raiment that was there at Park Chapel. So I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. So your gift just keeps on giving. So, and then the next one. Oh, so next week, we are on a one-week break. Just a one-week break. I'm thinking some ladies took this week off and next week. So judging from the seats, so they just didn't get the memo. But you did. So just take 1 week off next week, and you will be back here the following week. And if you would, why don't you get out your homework books and turn to that first page where it tells you, like, what homework to do. So next week, before break, you are going to be in chapter 2. I mean, not next week, the week after. You will have all of your homework done for the last half of chapter 2, correct? Okay, just so that we're all on the same page, just because you're on a break doesn't mean you don't get to do your homework. We want to come back and have it all done so we have something to talk about in our small groups and stuff. Okay. Any questions? You're good? Week after next, exactly. All right, let's go ahead and pray. So, Lord, I thank you so much for this evening, God. It's by your Spirit that we've been drawn here, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, God. There is nothing here that draws people, Lord, except you. And that's, we want to make sure that it remains that way, Lord, because it's by your Spirit that we can change. It's by your Spirit that we have that power and that love and everything that you desire for us to have, Father. It's by your Spirit. We can't eke it out. We can't pretend. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you're here tonight, that you would inhabit this place, that you would take control of me and my mouth and my eyes and my heart. I pray that you would communicate clearly through me, Father, to these ladies. And I pray that these ladies would hear your voice and not mine. And so we give you this evening, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so just a little recap. If you want, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1. This first part of Ephesians, it's talking about the wealth that we receive from God the moment we say yes to Jesus. The moment we say yes to Jesus, we have been chosen, we have been adopted, we have been redeemed, and we have been forgiven. We have all these things immediately from the Lord, and it's ours to have, and it's wealth. And this type of stuff, you know, we can't get from man. We get it from our God. And then it talks about Paul's prayer, and he prays that we would have wisdom to know him and know him personally. And I'll know him by me, and I can't get by on your coattails. I've got to do my own investigation, and you have to do yours. And it was really important for Paul, for us to know his power, because if we know his power, we can live so dynamically for the Lord. I think that is the deal breaker. That is what can just change. We can be world changers if we tap into that power that God is talking about in this chapter. And so in chapter 2, in just these 10 verses, I just thought it is so jam-packed. 10 verses full of just the basics of the foundation of our faith. It's things that we need to make sure we know. These are verses that we will refer back to constantly throughout our whole walk with the Lord. When we share with non-believers or when we share with believers, these are the basics of our faith. And so tonight I have divided the 10 verses into three parts. And so the first part is entitled Dead. We are in the state of being dead at the beginning of this chapter. And and when I mean dead, it means just like we have no direction. We have no guidance. We're just these living, walking dead and with no moral compass, and we do what is right in our own eyes, right? We do whatever we feel is good, and what I think is right one day is different the next day, and is different from your right from one day to the next day, and it's just kind of chaotic. And we were all there before we said yes to Jesus. We were all in the state of just being dead. In fact, one of the versions of the Bible, it says, you fill your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhale disobedience. And I just think, yes, it just, that pollution that I thought, like I was breathing it. I thought that that's what gave me life. I thought that that's what made me feel good. It's what fueled me. And it is polluted unbelief. When it came to God, there was no, I did not, and some of us knew we were doing wrong. But some of us, we were doing wrong and we didn't even know what were we doing. We had no inkling of what was right and wrong in God's eyes. And then we exhale, like the product of breathing all that in is disobedience to God. And that's what we did. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember how many times we inhale and exhale every minute. But, I mean, over the course of, you know, however many years we walked without God, that's a lot of pollution. That's a lot of disobedience. And so, but we that's where we were. We were in this state of being dead. And because of that sin, that makes me and us all sinners, right? And according to Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Because we sin, we earned death. Like we were working for it. And we thought, you know, we thought we were just having fun, but we were actually working. And what a laughing stock we are to Satan. I mean, Satan, I'm sure, is just like, you know, I've got them all, and they think that they're doing, and they're working, and they're attaining, and they're climbing up these ladders, and you know, I've got them right where I want them. And you know, we didn't just, you know, finally just poof and appear dead one day. We didn't just die. We lived there. We made our bed in death. we had recreational things going on in that state of being dead. And according to these verses, it says that we walked there. And in verse 2, it says that that we walked according to the course of this world. And as I was thinking about that word course, the word course means a route or a path. But of course, I thought of a track. And I was thinking of maybe even an obstacle course that you get on. And this course has obstacles, and it has different things along it, the way, but we just go round and around and around and around, and this is the world's course. And it's like this fast track to nowhere. And Satan has it planned, where he has placed, you know, like different activities and obstacles that seem pleasurable to me, that seem like I'm going to engage, and this is great, and it is occupying my time, and it's feeding me, and it's making me big. Or he also has planned out obstacles along the world's course that can even get us bogged down and stuck there too. And Satan wants us to go around and around on this merry-go-round, whether it means that we're riding life high, thinking we are attaining all this stuff, or we're riding it down deep and we're stuck and we can't get out. And so these things that entice us, I was thinking about those things that entice our mind and our bodies. One of the versions, it talked about how that we gave ourselves over in mind and body to the things of the world. And those are things like Satan just wants us to stay there. Satan just wants us to get stuck there. And we all have friends and family and people in our lives that you know are just stuck on this merry-go-round, and they're stuck in they're just stuck and they can't get out. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 John, 1 John 2, Fifteen through seventeen. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." So don't love the world or its course or the things that are even on the obstacle course, because some of them look awesome, right? Some of them make me feel good. Some of them look great. Some of them are just so fun, you know? But do not love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And I was thinking about just the lust of the flesh are the things that make us feel good, the things that are pleasurable, the things that are like that immediate gratification. That is, that's the lust of the flesh, when you're like, your whole body wants it. And you all can know, you can imagine what all that stuff is. And then you have the lust of the eyes, and you see all that candy out there. It glitters and gleams, and it looks ripe, and it is good, you know, and you want it. And then there's the pride of life, and you think it's all, you know, if I can only have that, I'd be getting this. I'll be here, you know, and it has this pride, power, prestige, control. You know, I will be able to do this, and it's all sinful lust. And so if we, the world's course, those are all the little obstacles along the world's course that is trying to hook us. And Satan does a great job. The world's course was different for me than the world's course than it is for you and you and you. We all have different temptations, different things that I think are that look good, or that would, you know, meet my fancy, or things that would make me just feel so on top of the game. And so But in 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 2:11, it says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so it not only, I just feel, sometimes I feel like I forget that it's my soul that Satan is after. It's not my body. You know, although, you know, if it takes him ripping apart my body with, you know, decay and disease and whatever it might be to bring me down in my soul, then that is great for him. But we have to remember that these lusts that are dangling in front of our face, that we used to go round and round and round and round with when we were in that state of being dead, it is warring for my soul. And we have to remember that we're in this war. And I feel like if we remember that, we will, I feel like, take our stand a little bit more strongly. We can breathe life and truth and correction into other people with a little bit more conviction. And definitely we need to make sure we are doing it to ourselves first, right? But all these worldly courses, whether it be your course or my course or your course, it all leads to the same thing, right? Just more death. It all leads to the same place, and that's death. Okay, and the second part, it's entitled Alive. We were once dead, and now we are alive. And in verse 1 it says, and you, he made alive. I just think that is so joyful. Like if you sit there for a while, you just can't contain it. We were once dead and now we were alive. And we were talking about last week, I think it was, when we were talking about the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And we were saying like, that is the highest bar for power. Like, I think that's probably the hardest thing, you know, that anybody could do. And God did it, but it's that same power that raised us from that state of being dead. We have all been resurrected. Don't forget that. You know, we have experienced that. And if we can, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we grow and grow and grow, and we're growing in the Lord, that we forget how dead we were and that he breathed life into us. And we will never, ever be the same. Never be the same. We are proof that God can and still does raise people from the dead, right? I oftentimes think, you know, here in America, God doesn't do these, you know, amazing miracles. And I'm thinking, he raised me from the dead, and I know a lot of other ladies that he rose from the dead. And I know in a room this big, if we were to swap stories about, you know, who we were BC, you know, we would be like, no way, you did not, you know, because God is that capable, right? Right? I know, some of you. And I love that God can not only bring us to life, but then over time, he just, this new creation that shows no evidence of you ever doing that before. I mean, only a God of great love can do that. Only a God of great love. And so I feel like it's super important for us to remember where we came from. I feel like we can be on the fast track of learning and going through this school evangelism and then doing this, and we're in Bible study, and now like 20 years later, you know, we're looking at these kids that are like, you know, that are doing this awful things. And, you know, why can't you stop? Like, why don't you just say no, you know? And it's like if we do not remember where we came from, I feel like we dish out criticism instead of compassion. And we need to be able to dish out the compassion and say, oh, I know, I know, I was there. Because truly, if you take Jesus away from me, I am still that same person, caught up in the same crazy stuff I used to be caught up in. And I would go right back to that death place, right back there, because that's who I am apart from Christ. And so it says that while we were dead, while we were still dead, first, God loved us, and he loved us so much that he made us alive. And then I think we cannot forget that in verse 5, he says that he made us alive together with Christ. That is so important, because apart from this union, there is no life. Apart from my union with Christ, I am still that girl. You will find me doing those things again. And so this union has, now I am the one that wanders. God doesn't wander. I am prone to wander. And so I need to stick close to my Savior, because without him, I am nothing. There is no life without God. And he raised us up to sit with Jesus, to sit with Jesus in the heavenly realms. I mean, that is pretty lofty, and I'm not quite, I can't quite grasp it yet, but I will figure that out probably the same time you do. So, but, and then I, you know, and then I'm like, why did he make us alive? Why did he do this? And I think that verse 7 is it. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so here, it's saying that he wants to shower. Now, I've done all this. Now, how long is an age? I don't know what an age is. But for ages, so a lot of time, I'm thinking, lots of time. I've only got one age here, I think, on earth, and I think there's many more ages to come. And either way, I'm living eternally with him, and I'm thinking that he's alluding to that. For eternity, he wants to show me his grace and his kindness. And if you think that you've seen his grace and his kindness now, I think we haven't begun to see his grace in his mercy. I feel like the moment we step through those pearly gates and we see heaven and all that he has made for us to dwell with him, when we see his face, when we see Jesus, when we, you know, see all of the people that we are going to meet there, I think we will be like, grace. Grace and kindness. So this is why he did this. He made us alive and sat us in the heavenly realms with Jesus, his son, so that he can still be God to us, so he could still love us, still pour out his great love for us. Oh, Lord, where am I? Okay. Okay, and so this saving stuff, this salvation, this saving is all his idea, and it was all his work. That's like, you know, one of the foundations of our, you know, our faith, is that it is all his work. None of my work is involved. It is a gift to us. Now, I am in the habit, of buying my kids something when they've done something right. Right? I feel like America, that's like our MO almost. Like when, and so then we are conditioned to think every time I've done something good, I deserve something, you know? That is not the case with this. And if it was, you have more salvation or more, you know, favor from God, and it's based because you did something better than me, well, I think that it just, that type of mentality means that we would be just backbiting one another and competing against one another and talking about one another, when I feel like Paul is setting us up for the rest of this book when he says to, like, walk in unity, walk in love. And so we can't do that if we're always looking at each other and examining, like, You know, so God takes it completely out of the equation, and it's all him. It's all his work so that we cannot boast. That's it. God knows we are boastful people. And it's not a result of my work at all. And so this last section, it is, how do we live? It's live. And so we were once dead, and then we were made alive, but now this is the way we're going to live, okay? And it's found in verse 10, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so first I was thinking about God and just how he created us. He's our maker, meaning he took time. And I was thinking about my dad, and he is a landscape contractor. And I have many memories of him doing his blueprints of people's backyards and their pools and their, and it was all to scale, and he had this little tiny graph paper on his drafting board, and there were like, you know, it was like kind of like a little language, but circles meant different types of plants and trees, and he did bricks, and they were all done, and he allowed me to start doing the bricks for him because they were monotonous for him, but it was so fun for me, and who knew, the Lord knew that I'd be referring to it now, but you know, God had these blueprints for our lives before time began. He has these mass, he had it all laid out. We weren't like just, you know, thrown together. It's his life work. We are his amazing workmanship. We are his poems, his poemas. There on Facebook, there's a lot of these videos that are going around, Patty, of God's creation, of flowers, like flowers that look like spaceships and like alien flowers that look like monkeys and just crazy things. And the most recent ones I saw was all about trees and these crazy looking trees, and some of them you can drive your car through, and just amazingness. And you look at that, and I have such admiration for our God's creativity. But those things are things. We have souls. And so how much more God poured into the blueprint of our lives to nurture this soul we have. He designed not only our being and who we are and our personalities, but like the time in history that we were even going to be, you know, walking the earth. And just, there's so much, and so much thought and love went into all of this. And we are his masterpieces. I was thinking of, we are his magnum opus. In 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about us being the epistle of Christ, and just how we are living letters, that we are lives. We don't need to say anything, but our lives display God's handiwork. It is our love story for everyone to see and everyone to know. So ladies, if you have a story, don't be ashamed of it. You know, we don't want to glorify what we used to do, but we also want to glorify a God who still does these crazy miracles. And I feel like the world needs a miracle. I feel like the world wants to hear something impossible. And we are all the impossibles. And so be that living letter. Don't roll up your scroll, you know, like be the living letter. He went to great lengths to first create us, you know, with all the blueprints and stuff, but then, you know, and then we turned and sinned, and we, you know, were in a state of death, and then he had to send his own son to come and bring us to life again, and then he wants to preserve us, you know, sending the Holy Spirit to preserve that salvation. And so I feel like God works so hard on our behalf, and we're just like so dumb, you know? Like, why can't we just get it right? He's working day and night, and you know, and he's done all this, and now we are new creations. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, soon. That therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking that all that old world, that course of the world, that's passed away. And now we are on God's course. This new course that has new things for us to do. It has, and instead of there the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that is not on this course. What's on this course are good works. On this course, on God's course, there are good works for us to do, and we must be faithful to do them. And according to Philippians 4:13, I can do them. I can do all those good works that God wants me to do because he strengthens me. Now, God doesn't strengthen this person over here on the world's course. God gives us strength. You know, sometimes you could take that verse out of context, you know, and it's like, you've got to make sure that God will give you the strength to do what he wants you to do. You know, he's not going to give you the strength to rise up and sin against him. You know, that's counterproductive for him. And so he won't. He will give us the strength to do the things that are on his course. He infuses us with his strength. That same, that power. It's the same thing. It's that same thing. So we need to tap into it. And so we need to walk in those good works. We need to join him in the work he's already doing. All those works that are on his course that we get to take part in, he's going to do them anyway. Like, we get to be a part of what he's doing. Let's be a part of praying for that, or being a part of that missions trip, or go to that that retreat, because God is doing something. He's going to do something great there, whether you're there or not. Let's be there. Let's show up where God is working, where he is moving. That's where I want to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you desire intimacy with us, and that you have gone to great lengths to buy us back. You sold your son, Lord. You sold your son, and you paid for us and our sin with him, with his blood. You've gone through great lengths to buy us back. And God, and then you sent the Holy Spirit to preserve us right here, so close. Lord, help us not to wander. Help us not to be distracted by the world's course. Help us not to jump track and go over to this other course, Lord, where that's not our home. And I pray, God, that you would, for these ladies maybe today that might not be sure if this is your will or if this is a good work you want them to be a part of, Father, I pray that you would show them without a shadow of a doubt tonight. Lord, I just think if it is good, it's from you. Every good and perfect thing, that gift, that comes from you, Father, and it can produce so much fruit, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would fill us with your power to accomplish and do and follow through. God, it's so important that we follow through on the things that you have helped us start. Lord, and so I pray for those ladies that might be struggling, that might be like tapping out here soon on this good work, God. I pray that they would not grow weary while doing good. Fill them with your spirit, your power. God, and Lord, I pray most of all that they would just know how much you love them. Father, when I know that I have someone on my side, someone that loves me deeply, intimately, Lord, it fills my sails. And so, God, I pray that you would show each and every woman here how much you love them, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.